Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 50, a golden show. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. It's going to be a great one. Show one was good, but 50 is so much better.
You know, 50, it means that we're halfway there. Halfway to what, I guess? But, you know, it's halfway, man. Halfway to 100. So I'll go ahead and claim that, man. It's exciting to be on this show with you today once again, my friend.
Well, not only that, but two shows away from 52, which would be an entire year of On the Double.
Man, who would have thunk it, huh? Being on the show for a year, going through some great times, some ups and downs, but mostly ups, man. And, you know, it's just been an exciting ride thus far.
You know, Sean, it's really a shame that we have to struggle and pull teeth to figure out what to talk about on this show. There's never anything going on in sports. There's never any headline grabbing attention. So what do we do?
Yeah, man. You know, especially with the intro that we came in with, and you know, I'm the man, I'm the man. And boy, there is one Donald Sterling in Los Angeles that, you know, thought that he was the man. And actually, Sean, you know what? He is the man as we speak. The man that is public enemy number one, and who I'm talking about is the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. And boy, there are some troubling times in Tinseltown, no doubt.
Yeah, it's amazing that in this day and age, in 2014, that these thoughts and that this can come from this guy's head. And I realize he is a senior in his years, and he has been around for many, many, many years. I believe he's in his early 80s, but goodness, come on. I mean, part of the reason he has the money he has is from what the NBA has done for him and given to him. And here he is apparently making racist comments and having bad things to say about people of color. And it's just uncalled for, not right. And there's no way. You know, LeBron's right. Michael Jordan's right. Everybody that has said anything about this is correct. It has no place, not only in the NBA, but in today's society.
Yeah, you're right, Sean. It has no place in society. And, you know, it's a terrible thing to think about. A terrible thing. You know, it's one of those things that you know is there, but you know, it's kind of like the elephant in the room. And, you know, when this came out initially, I thought, goodness gracious, this can't be true. This can't be true. And, you know, I feel for the Los Angeles Clippers basketball team, the guys that actually go out there and represent the Clippers. You know, they did, I think, what was a wonderful job yesterday as far as having solidarity. That's one of the things that you always want to do, especially as a head coach, rally your team in solidarity. And I think Doc Rivers did just that and setting and making a statement. But man, their hearts were heavy, Sean, and it showed as they played against the Golden State Warriors yesterday and just got throttled. And, you know, this is one of these ongoing sagas, and I know that Adam Silver's going to do his part. He will make an announcement tomorrow. And, you know, like the whole world is watching. You know, the whole world is watching to see what Adam Silver's, you know, what his mandate will be on Donald Sterling.
Well, let's go ahead and head on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number one tonight. And that is former NBA player, LaSalle Thompson. LaSalle, thanks so much for your time tonight.
How you doing, man?
Hey, LaSalle, thanks for being on
I'm
the
glad
double.
Glad to be here.
good, man. I'm glad. We're glad that you're here, man. And we'll get right into it. And of course you're hearing what we were just talking about, and you know, talking about Donald Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. Man, what a terrible thing to transpire here, especially during playoff time.
Yeah. Well, you know, this guy's been like that for years. The only thing is, for once, he got caught on tape. But he's been that way for years. So anybody that knows him and knows his history shouldn't be surprised by this.
And, of course, LaSalle, you playing at the University of Texas in Austin and, you know, actually being a trailblazer, if you will, as far as, you know, the powerful big man in the game. You know, I mean, you know, this has to be, you know, just a, you know, a downer for you as far as being, again, a trailblazer, you know, for a lot of players, a lot of big men playing in this game today.
Well, yeah, well, just seeing something like that happen, I don't care who you are, what position you play. Just seeing, especially in the NBA, to see something like that is just a sad thing. And, you know, it's a dark day for the NBA.
And LaSalle, of course, you being the number 5 pick in the NBA draft, of course, being drafted by the then Kansas City Kings. So exciting to have you back here, you know, in front of our Northern California audience. Getting the chance to be on the double with the Double S Express. So many, you know, issues of gratitude for you. Of course, this past year being recognized, you know, as one of the all-time players with the Sacramento Kings. Kind of give us an idea on what that was like.
What, playing for the Kings?
Yes.
Well, when I first got in the league, you know, we were in Kansas City, and at that time the Kings weren't a good team. And the league was struggling a little bit. I think Donald Sterling had just bought the Clippers. They were located in San Diego then, but it was they didn't have the big TV contracts. You know, we flew commercial. We had to do our own, wash our own uniforms and laundry. Or you could pay the team manager to do it for you. They charge us about $30 a month to wash our practice gear for us. But it was a lot different than it is now. I see these guys now, hell, they have a guy that brings their shoes to the game for them. So it's come a long way from when I first came in.
Former NBA player LaSalle Thompson joining us here on the double with the Double S Express. And LaSalle, getting back to the issues in Clipperland, how should this be handled? What should new Commissioner Silver do to rectify this?
To be honest, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know that they can do anything to him. You know, these comments were made in the privacy of his own home, number one. And number two, they don't have, the NBA doesn't have any provisions for punishing owners. You know, I know a couple years ago, I remember Kobe Bryant said the F word, gay slur, to somebody. And it took the league about 2 hours to find him. And here we are, this thing went on, and we're going into, what, the third or fourth day? I don't think they can do anything to him. I mean, it's bad and it's sad, but I don't think they can do anything to him. He's an owner.
Yeah, and there's talk that Magic Johnson would like to try and buy the team, and you know, maybe the group in Seattle can somehow find a way to rectify this. But goodness, this is a crazy way for Commissioner Silver to start. He's only been around for a couple months.
Seattle ain't getting that team. I can tell you that now. I'll tell you something else. I'll go out on a limb here and tell you something else. He's not the only owner that thinks that way. I think that's one of the reasons nothing has ever been done about it, because he's not the only one that talks like that. And so to hear him talk like that, I bet there are other owners and other people in the upper reaches of organizations that talk that same way. So, I mean, they didn't even raise their eyebrows to hear it. I think there are some people that would be put off by it and shocked by it, but I think there's probably an equal number of people that it didn't bother them for him to talk like that.
LaSalle Thompson, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. And LaSalle, you'd mentioned that, you know, there's possibly other owners that think that way or act that way. Do you think right now they're in a cut and run situation, or is this something that will kind of trickle down as, you know, as the months go on or as the years go on?
Oh, no, I think they're trying to get away from him now. And, I mean, this thing blew up pretty big. And, again, they have him on tape saying these things. This isn't a he-say-she-say situation. This is him actually on tape saying this stuff. So it's hard for him to deny it. And then I think his family, his ex-wife, come forward and confirm that it's him saying it. So I think they'd like to come down on him. I think everybody's trying to distance himself from him. I think they've lost, the Clippers have lost a lot of sponsors behind it, but I think that they would like to get rid of him, make him sell the team, and get him out of the picture. But unless he wants to go, I don't think there's anything they can do to him. I mean, people can boycott the games, he can lose sponsorship, but I don't know that the league can do a lot to him. We'll see.
Now, LaSalle, you'd mentioned that, you know, there are a couple of places that might be looking at grabbing the Clippers, and you emphatically said Seattle isn't one of them. So what would be next for the Clippers then moving forward as far as a franchise?
Well, I think the league would like him probably to sell the team. But if he doesn't want to sell, he's not going to sell. If he decides to sell it, I mean, Magic Johnson has already stepped forward and said he'd like to buy the team. But and I'm sure, to be honest, I think the league would love to have Magic Johnson as an owner. But if you get into that situation, he's going to sell it to the highest bidder. And, you know, and then it's anybody's guess who'll get him. Somebody may outbid Magic. If somebody paid $500-some million for the Kings, hell, they might be bid, pay 30-40% more than that for the Clippers. I mean, that's a valuable franchise.
Definitely. You know, that, you know, the Clippers are a valuable franchise, and I'm sure with the right ownership, that team can continue to do some great things. And it's no wonder, LaSalle, that the team had been, you know, mediocre and probably, you know, actually, let's face it, the Clippers were a horrible team up until about 5-6 years ago. And so, you know, now we're starting to see the reason why that was possibly happening.
Well, he mostly, I think, didn't really care a lot about winning. He probably, I remember I read something one time, he had a higher profit margin than almost anybody in the league because he paid so little in player salaries. Because, you know, in the NBA, the national TV money is split equally. There are a lot of ways that organizations make money beyond their gate receipts. And I think he was making more money than most of the teams in the league, even though his team was terrible. And he's got a good team now, but he kind of lucked into that. Because if you remember correctly, Chris Paul should be playing for the Lakers, and he's playing for them.
True.
Doc Rivers should be in Boston, but he's out there. So he kind of lucked into getting the team he has.
LaSalle, I want to shift gears a little bit, of course, and, you know, that's a subject that we can talk about and go on, and, you know, I'm sure that's going to be in the media for the days and weeks to come. But, of course, I want to talk a little bit about your story. Now, you know, a few weeks ago we had George Foreman Jr. on our show, and you kind of have the same tradition in your family, the LaSalle Thompson name. Now, how many LaSalles are there in the family?
I'm a third, so my father and my grandfather were both named LaSalle. But the funny, I want to say I know George Foreman, but all his sons are named George, so I know one of them, but I don't know if the one you had on there is the one I know.
Yeah, this was George Foreman Jr. that we had on a few weeks back.
Okay, is he the one that lived in Sacramento?
He once lived in Sacramento, and so he's now the
I know
promoter.
Him.
Okay, all right,
good
all
dude.
Right.
Good dude.
Yeah. Really good, really great individual, man. And of course, he's been doing some things with the Double S Express, and we appreciate him as well. And so, yeah, so you definitely have that likeness of, you know, LaSalle Thompson name running in the family.
Yeah, I'm a third, so I like the name. I like the uniqueness of it. I'm proud of it, and I'm happy with it.
LaSalle, you played in the NBA for 15 seasons. What are your fondest memories of your playing days?
Let's see. I remember just when the team first moved to Sacramento, how good of a city it was and how nice the people were. The weather was great. You know, we came from Kansas City where they got terrible winters. And we get to Sacramento, and people are complaining when it drops to 50 degrees. I said, man, this is like summer. So I remember just the original Arco Arena, the amount of noise the fans made, the enthusiasm from them, and just the support the city gave the team. It's a great city. Great city to play basketball in, great city to live in.
Now, LaSalle, since you lived through a team moving from one city to another, and we've had teams for sale recently, and there was the whole Seattle-Sacramento debacle last year, what was that like to go from the fans in Kansas City and their heartbreak and leaving there and uprooting and starting anew in Sacramento?
Well, the situations were a little different. Back then, you know, the NBA wasn't doing as well. I think when, Luke and Bill and Benvenuti Group bought the team, Sacramento was, super enthusiastic to have them. I think Kansas City felt like, get out of town, hurry up, get them out of here. And there were some fans in Kansas City that hated to see us go, but it was a lot different than this Seattle, Sacramento situation. And really, I think the league needs to give Seattle a team. They need to just start a franchise out there, just do an expansion franchise. I think one of the problems the league is looking at, if they do an expansion team in Seattle, they need to do one in the East, and they don't really have a viable city in the East. But I think the league needs to expand. Maybe in another year they will. I think that's going to be on Adam Silver. That'll be his decision. But they really do need to expand because Seattle does deserve a team. They just didn't deserve our team.
And LaSalle Thompson on the double with the Double S Express. And I definitely echo that sentiment. And so, I do believe that, Seattle will get a team. And at some point, it just wasn't the right time. And Sacramento, I think the biggest misconception as far as Sacramento is because it is somewhat of a subdued town. But when it comes to the Kings, there's no greater presence. And of course, you playing in Arco Arena, and you know how loud the crowd is, and you know how much the fans back the Sacramento Kings. I think that was a big misconception around the NBA that Sacramento, just didn't care.
No, I think a lot of the apathy came from the fact of the what's the name of the former owners? I've forgotten their names.
The Maloofs. George Maloofs. And Gavin.
I think a lot of the apathy came from the Maloofs owning them. And they tried to drive away fans because they wanted to try and move the team. So they tried to drive the brand into the ground and make fans stay away. But Sacramento has great fans. They really support the team. And I think now that they have a new owner, I think that fan support is starting to come back. I think what the fans did like were the Maloofs. They didn't, I think they still like the Kings. They just didn't want to support the Maloofs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know that was a big problem, especially when they just didn't want to be in Sacramento as much as they were saying in the media that they wanted to. We knew that there was no way, shape, or form that they wanted to stay in Sacramento. But thank goodness for Kevin Johnson and his push, and of course the fans, and of course people such as yourself, former players coming together. It's allowed Sacramento to actually have, and they will have, one of the finer jewels and gems of an arena here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think a lot of the credit for keeping them there has to go to Kevin. I just know I was meeting with him a couple summers ago, and I knew what his efforts were, and he really did not want to let that team leave. And I think he, I guess I can use the word Herculean, he made a real strong effort to keep that team there. And I think one of the major reasons they're still in Sacramento is because of him.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, he's a Phoenix Sun, but grew up in Sacramento, going to Sac High, and, of course, going to Cal Berkeley in college. And, just some great efforts from KJ doing those awesome things. Let's talk a little bit about your NBA play. And, of course, there are a lot of players out right now. If I were to pick a player that you are similar to, it would be from one of your former teams, and that's the Indiana Pacers, and that would be of David West out on the floor. One of those strong players, with a good post presence, but a nice mid-range. Where do you think you would fare in today's game in the NBA?
Oh, if I was playing now?
Yes.
I compare very favorably to David West. He's got more offense than me, and I think he's looked to score more. I was more of a defensive player than him. Matter of fact, I just watching him play, I know I was better defensively than him. So it's a trade-off. He was he was better offensively. I'm better defensively. And I think we were both hard-nosed and hard workers, and we did all the grunt work.
So LaSalle, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Sorry, my mic was moving around on me. And so, you know, there was an article that you had, I believe, in one of the Indiana papers talking about, you know, the amount of pay that you were getting. And, you know, you're kind of an unsung hero. Do you agree with that as far as, you know, being underpaid as a post player at that time?
No. I don't think I was underpaid. Actually, at one time, I was the highest paid power forward in the league, only for about 2 months. Then a couple of guys eclipsed me. But, you know, I always thought I did pretty good. I did okay for myself. Now, if I was playing now, I'd be a $10 or $12 million player, and I'm okay with that. Because if you look, if I don't know, if I played 10 years earlier than I play now, I would have made $100,000. So I'm happy with what I did.
Former NBA player LaSalle Thompson joining us here on the double with the Double S Express. And LaSalle, in the current playoffs right now, who do you like moving forward in the 2014 playoffs?
Miami. I think Miami's the team to beat. I thought the way San Antonio was playing, they might get to the finals and give them a run, but yeah, they're struggling with Dallas right now. So, you know, they get themselves together. I still think they got a really strong chance of beating them. I don't really see anybody else, you know, matching them. So, Oklahoma City is not playing that great. The Pacers are playing terrible. Washington is playing pretty good, but I don't think they have an answer for LeBron. So I think in the East, I think the team that would probably give them the biggest test would be Washington right now, the way they're playing. Even though Brooklyn beat them every time they played them this year, I think that getting in the playoffs and Miami brings their best game, I can see Miami beating them.
Yeah, LaSalle, I have to agree with you. You know, the Miami Heat, they're just coasting right along here, and of course, sweeping the Charlotte Bobcats or the Charlotte, you know, and, you know, it wasn't even close. And so, you know, LeBron and company
What's the score of the Atlanta-Indiana game? Are they playing right now? Are they still playing? Is that game over? Is it still going on?
Yeah, that score right now is 94-83 Atlanta, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, Indiana's not looking too good.
Down. This would be interesting.
Yeah. And so, I wanted to shift gears a little bit, LaSalle. There, of course, you being a coach and helping out with Mike Woodson with the New York Knicks and, of course, getting a chance to see these Eastern teams so you know them firsthand. There was a blessing in disguise for you for coaching with the Knicks. And, of course, what I'm talking about is you had a scare here. Not a scare. I mean, this was life-threatening. I had a chance to get a physical and found out that you had prostate cancer, man. And, I just wanted to, you know, just say hats off to you, for one, for getting a chance to recognize that, but understanding, you know, how important it was and realizing that there's a purpose for everything that you do in your everyday life.
Yeah. You know, I get my physicals every year, but at that time, if I hadn't been hired by New York, I probably wouldn't have had a physical till the following summer. And it was just a blessing, you know, that Mike Woodson hired me. And, you know, I took my physical, and I literally had just gotten it. I don't know if you know a lot about prostate cancer, but the way they measured in your PSA, and at the time they diagnosed me, your normal PSA is about a 3. Mine was at 4. So they called it early. And when I went to the, they sent me to a urologist at first, and he didn't think anything was wrong with me. He said, you're just slightly elevated. We'll put you on some medicine. You'll be okay. But I came back and it was still elevated. And then they did a blood test. Then they did a biopsy. And they figured, okay, you have it. It took him about 4 months to figure it out, 3 months to figure it out. And once he figured it out, yeah, I had it. They asked me, did I want to do the chemo or did I want to have surgery? And I said, let's do the surgery because I don't want it to come back. And, you know, we went and did it. And I had a great doctor, one of the best doctors in the world, a doctor named Tawari, Ash Tawari. Really good doctor, very kind, very knowledgeable. He's one of the best in the world. And I'm glad I had him. I'm glad I got diagnosed.
So LaSalle, did they get it all? Do they think you're clear, or is there a chance it could pop up?
Well, what they do when you have the surgery, after the surgery, they send in, well, for me, they send my prostate out to a lab and see was the cancer all contained within my prostate, and it was. And they told me I was completely cancer-free, and I have to go to the doctor every 3 months for the next 5 years. So I just went about a month and a half ago, and they told me at that time, they said I'm still, my PSA was zero. So they said I have no trace of cancer in me. I'm completely well, but I'll continue to go to the doctor every 3 months just to be sure and just to make sure.
Well, that's awesome, LaSalle. Make sure you stay on top of that, and many blessings to stay healthy, and I glad will. You caught that early.
So I will. Thank you.
All right, LaSalle Thompson, former Kansas City King, Sacramento King, Indiana Pacer. Thanks so much for your time tonight. We appreciate your insights, and much health to you in the future.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciated it.
All right. Thanks again, LaSalle.
Okay. You guys have a good evening.
All right.
There goes LaSalle Thompson, former NBA player, starting off show 50 here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean.
Yeah, great story by LaSalle Thompson. You know, there's even more to his story. And, you know, of course, with him being traded to, you know, Indiana at the time, you know, he really wanted to stay in Sacramento. And, of course, you know, he battled with that and, you know, wound up having a successful career. So hats off to LaSalle. So coming back from the break, we will have guest number two, Sean Wally, show number 50. We have Mr. Papadakis coming up. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk, show 50 on the Double.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd for show 50. Here we go.
Great, great start to the show. Of course, having LaSalle Thompson on. And man, what a treat to have, you know, the former NBA star coming on the show, talking a little bit about, you know, some of the rigors of playing, you know, kind of mentioned a little bit about, you know, the current goings on, you know, in Los Angeles. And of course, getting a chance to talk about, you know, his him being an overcomer, man, of you know, cancer, man, that is just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something I wasn't aware of. So it was great that he's been able to beat that, but he was also willing to share it, which is a part of, you know, good things to come for guys down the road, is that they need to get checked and know what's going on.
Yeah, you know, gosh, I think we as men, you know, one of the things is we're always afraid to go to the doctor and, you know, and find things out. And it just so happened that his situation allowed him to do that, you know, moving from the West Coast to the East Coast. And, you know, hey, good thing that he did, because if he didn't, if he wasn't coaching with the Knicks at that time, then he was probably scheduling himself to have a physical the following year. And who knows where it would have gone to after that. So, you know, definitely a blessing in disguise to be over there with Mike Woodson, you know, coaching with the Knicks.
Let's head on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number 2 tonight on show 50, our golden show on the double with the Double S Express. Petros Papadakis of Fox Sports Radio, co-host of Petros and Money. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hi, guys. What's cracking? How are you?
What's going on, Petros? Always good to talk to you, my friend. And of course, you know, you having the Petros and Money show, AM 570. Fox Sports in Los Angeles. I can only begin to imagine what your day is like talking about Mr. Donald Sterling and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, it was one of those days where you don't do as much diversity on the show. You don't do as many different stories. You kind of hang on to one story and you end up taking more calls than you normally would. And going over and over the same thing and kind of trying, at least we did today, I think, to advance the story just a little further as far as, you know, what you think might happen next. You know, guys, most people in Los Angeles that follow this story for the last 10 years or just at least the tenure of Donald Sterling, I mean, no one's ever accused Donald Sterling of being a good guy or even a guy that anybody would want to be around. He's always been aloof and strange, and there's always been a lot of mystery surrounding him, but this is pretty intolerable, and it'll be very interesting to see how the NBA deals with this tomorrow with the Silver press conference and what it will all mean going forward, because remember, the NBA is the owners. You know, there's 29 right. other guys that are going to have to want to get rid of Donald Sterling, and these are 29 other guys. And I'm not saying that they're racists or they all have mistresses, but there are 29 other guys that have a very vested interest on what the NBA can do to them and their franchises legally. So yes. What happens tomorrow is a big moment in the history of the league.
Well, one, let's hope the other 29 don't have, you know, mistresses and or racists like that. But, man, that's just amazing. And of course, Petros, you know, playing in a huge program, of course, in college with the USC Trojans. Can you ever, or have you ever, you know, been in anything like this, any type of a situation, whether it's a coach or players? You know, of course, we got
no.
the, you know, it is. It's just amazing to me.
It's an unheard of type of thing. But again, people aren't shocked. You know, I mean, the real basis, let me put it like this. You guys remember the Marion Barry thing, right?
Right, right.
The mayor of Washington, D.C., uh-huh. who was there was on video smoking crack, and he got set up by a woman, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, he got set up, but that wasn't the headline. The headline is the mayor's a crackhead.
Right.
Same thing with Donald Sterling. You know, I mean, he got set up. He got
right.
set up by a mistress of his because he's an old man. He's jealous that his 20-year-old mistress, I don't want to call her a prostitute, but, you know, she's taking money and a house and cars, you know, to be on call for him, basically, and he's jealous of what's on her Instagram. I mean, the headline is the Clipper owner is a racist, but the backdrop
right.
is he got set up. I mean, this is a petty conversation between an old man, a crazy old man, and a gold-digging woman who is setting him up, and ultimately, you know, it's pretty sad. Now, in my experience as an athlete, you know, in my experience as a broadcaster, I mean, there's nothing really that comes close to this. MLB's takeover of the Dodgers is maybe something we can cite as far as maybe the league, the NBA, appointing a trustee to look over the franchise while Sterling is suspended. I'm sure he'll be suspended tomorrow. But I can't I can't speak to anything like this other than there's always that general feeling when you're an athlete, especially if you think too much, that you're a bit of a piece of meat with legs. So when you get a guy who's an owner who's, you know, said racist things in the past, or and now he's got this stuff that's, you know, him on tape, you know, it's not attributed to him, you know, it's him on tape saying stuff, and you got these guys that are being paid to do things athletically, you know, that's a very explosive situation, and that's why you've had the reaction that you've had. But it's not really just a Clipper problem, guys. This is all 30 NBA teams. You know, they all make money off of the same images and the same likenesses and the same teams, the same league, basically, with their own and this Donald Sterling.
Yeah, Petros, you make an interesting point, especially, you know, when you're talking about the gold digging, you know, whatever we want to call her. you know, I'm talking about Lawrence Taylor as well. You know, he was set up as well. And so, you know, when you're an athlete or when you're in the limelight, is there a double standard? Because, of course, if we're talking about like just a regular layman, you know, on his or her job, this is something that's, you know, kind of brushed under the rug a little bit. Are you saying that we're making a little too much out of this because they're professional athletes?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think that the response to this has been appropriate because you're talking about a multi-billionaire who who owns a franchise that beloved people in sports like Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and Doc Rivers are a part of. Now, that's what makes this really complicated. I mean, this is a terrible situation for everybody involved, and the players and the coaches and the front office people, everybody that works for the Clippers. I mean, I've been around the Clippers for years. These are good people. They're not racist. They're not animals like Sterling kind of seems to be. This doesn't reflect their views, so it has to be taken very seriously. But, I mean, one silver lining here is, I mean, could there be better leadership on the court for a team dealing with this than a guy like Chris Paul and a coach in Doc Rivers? I mean, these guys, they know what to say and how to handle this going forward, but no one really knows how they should handle it. Like, I mean, I'm of the mind, you know, just as far as fans in L.A. goes, to say, hey, if you love the Clippers and you're rooting for the Clippers, this shouldn't change that. These are players and coaches that guy, other than that he owns the team, they're not playing for him. They're playing for themselves. They're playing for each other. And you can say that about any team I've ever been on, too. I mean, it's not about the logo. It's about your teammates. And it doesn't matter who you play for. It could be the Lakers, the Clippers, USC, whatever. But you know what? Who am I to say to a guy, it doesn't have to be a black guy, any person or woman that says, look, I'm not okay with these comments. They make me sick, and I can't support the team anymore. You can't argue with that if somebody feels that way. So there's really no right way to feel in this.
Excellent. Excellent point.
Petros Papadakis with us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Petros, what are you finding is the sentiment from your listeners in the LA market?
You know, it's really a mixed bag. You know, you get a lot of people, you know, people want to say, take the team away from them, take the team away. And hey, yeah, that's great. You know, can they do that? You know, that's not going to be a short process or an easy process. You know, none of us know what the Clippers will look like going forward if this guy is the owner. I don't think Doc Rivers will stay. I think all these guys will legally get out of their contracts. Blake Griffin, all of them, DeAndre Jordan, I mean, whoever, saying this is not a comfortable work environment. So, you know, they can get out of it in a pretty simple way. I think people are just looking for clarity. I mean, we want answers in today's day and age. The way the media works, it's really fast twitch, and these stories come out fast, and then we want them resolved really quickly. And the truth is, you need to get an owner out. No matter what it is, no what league it is, it's not an easy process to remove an owner. And I think that's what people mostly want. How that's going to go about happening and whether or not the other owners will allow it to happen is really the question.
Petros, let's move on to some happier subjects, and let's talk about your transition from football at USC to broadcasting. How did that come about for you?
It was a pretty natural thing, to be honest with you guys. I mean, unlike a lot of people, I didn't have aspirations to do this for a living. It never really occurred to me when I was a football player that you know, I could make a living doing this kind of thing. I got all finished playing and wasn't really physically able to keep playing, and I didn't really want to anyway. And somebody called me and put me on TV, and it just kind of grew from there. I know stories like that really bother people in the sports media, but that's what happened for me. And obviously, I take the work seriously, and you know, it is my living and my career. But it's not something I aspired to happen. It just sort of happened, and I'm grateful for it.
Petros Papadakis on the double with the Double S Express, and of course, Petros, you know, you and I have worked together a couple of times. Of course, the last time we worked together, a couple of years ago in the rain, the Pac-12 football championship at Stanford. That was the UCLA-Stanford game, man. And, it is such a joy to get to work with you, man, because you are all about the business, but you're all about fun, too. And it makes it for great sideline reporting. It makes it for, you know, a fun time all around. And even though it was pouring down rain, man, you still look studly with your suit on and your galoshes, the boots that we got you. So, hey,
that was all good, right? Getting those boots.
And hey, man,
and then it stopped raining once the game started. Once the game started, it stopped raining, and we didn't even need them. You know, I try to add that. Very nice of you to say. You know, I take the work very seriously, as you know, whether I'm in the booth or on the sideline or in the studio or wherever. I take the work very seriously because I think the kids playing deserve a serious call. But I also don't want to act like, you know, we're covering a war either, you know. We're not war correspondents. You know, we're trying to celebrate college football and the people that play it. And, you know, when I do a game like that, that's what I'm trying to convey. And when I do a radio show, you know, I'm trying to entertain people, which is, you know, when you get days like this where you're talking about racism and society and an old man and his mistress, you know, it's not as easy to be entertaining. You know, it's more about the information and trying to advance the story. But I'm sure tomorrow we'll get back to something a little bit more like our show.
And so, again, you know, you are respected by many. And so, as you and I walked up and down the sidelines, a lot of people beg for your attention. And that says a lot about you. That says a lot that, you know, you master your craft. You enjoy what you do.
I work on TV and radio, so if you work on TV and radio for long enough, people recognize you, they want your attention, and you better give it to them, because if you don't, then you're a real a-hole.
Right, right. and you know what? They're looking for you to do that, and you don't give it to them at all. I love it.
Well, I try to show love to everybody involved, but when we're working, we're working.
Petros, what advice would you have for college students or anybody else that would like to get into the radio TV sports business?
You know, for me, obviously, you know, I told you guys my story. And for me, you know, I was very lucky in the way that things were handled for me. And luck doesn't really come around for everybody in this business. And there's a lot of people that want to do these jobs. And, you know, unless you're really at the top, you know, there's not a lot of money in it, too. You know, you have to be passionate and really be willing to pay your dues. But my best advice would be, you know, don't watch the TV and try to be like the guys you see on TV, or listen to the radio and try to be like the guys you hear on the radio. My best success, if I've had any, has come from being who I am, you know, being myself and embracing the things that I embrace, not trying to embrace something I think that other people want me to, but just being true to whatever it is that I'm, you know, feeling at that moment, and trying to make a show out of it and juggle all those balls. I know that's a weird answer, but to me, that's the business. Not trying to practice in the mirror and sound like, you know, Rich Eisen or whatever guy you see on TV, but you know, try to do it like you do it. And generally, that's the best way for somebody to be unique or to stand out is, because that's who you are. Who you are is unique. So if you can be who you are, it's not an easy thing. If you can be who you are in the air, you really have a good advantage over people.
Petros, talk to us about what it was like hosting a TV show called Pros versus Joes. And it's a show that I'm sure any guy that loves sports wanted to be on and try to upstand actual former pro athletes. What was that like for you?
You know, it was a learning experience for me. It was a long time ago. You know, I've done a lot of different TV since then, but most of it is more traditional, you know, calling games and stuff like you guys were talking about, or studio work. The Pros versus Joes thing was a great windfall for my life. It was also a big challenge. You know, they shot it at night during the football season, and, you know, I was still doing games on the weekend, still doing Fred's show on Sunday night, still doing the radio show, and still basically doing everything that I did, but all night working that show. So it was very challenging physically and emotionally for me, but it was only about a six-week shoot. It was very interesting to learn how reality shows shoot, because we didn't shoot it like a sporting event, even though it kind of was. We shot it like a reality show. So there were long nights, and I kind of got a taste of what shows like The Bachelor or, you know, The Amazing Race, how those show The Survivor, because it was all very similar producers that work on the same producers, camera people, crew people, very, very similar production elements to those shows. So I learned a lot about TV doing that show, and I got to meet a lot of ex-athletes, some very nice and some total douchebags.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Petros Papadakis joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And man, you know, our producer Alicia Flores finally got me to say your last name right. Dude, I am so sorry. I apologize that I was hacking it up and you let me do it.
Oh, you don't think I'm used to that stuff? Look, I have a Greek name. It's not easy to say. The way I say it is Petros Papadakis.
Papadakis.
But, you know, people say it all kinds of different ways, and it never really bothers me. So you're never going to get a correction from me. And you guys have done just fine. Don't worry about all that.
And so you had mentioned the windfall with Pros versus Joes, man. How in the world can we get a part of this windfall that you're talking about? I mean, that is just sensational that you had the opportunity to do Pros versus Joes.
I mean, the way that came about, and, you know, you guys are going to get even more mad. I mean, the way that came about is somebody called me and asked me to come in, and I sat down at a table, and they told me what the show was. They told me they were going to put, you know, Jerry Rice in a football uniform and have these guys in football uniforms and have them running routes. And literally, this is what happened. I told them, you guys are crazy. You guys will never get that done. Good luck. And I remember walking out of there giggling, laughing at those guys. You know, fast forward a few months later, and I'm standing on the field, and Jerry Rice is in full pads, and we're making a TV show with, you know, 12 cameras and a 200-person crew. So that's how it happened. You know, it happened by somebody calling me, telling me what they were going to do, me laughing at them, and then ended up doing it. So, God, I wish I had a better story for you, but that was it.
Awesome.
Petros, in the sports broadcasting world, be it radio or TV, what are your thoughts on agents? Do you have one? Do you think they're a good idea for people looking to get into the business or that have their start and they're trying to get the ball rolling? Petros, are you there, sir? Sean Boyd, can you hear me?
I think we lost him there.
Yeah. Petros didn't want to answer the agent question.
Man, again, I want to be a part of this windfall thing. And so, you know, hopefully we'll get him back shortly.
But well, man, gold is worth money, right?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be.
And we have our golden show, and we had Petros Papadakis on the show, who had a windfall with Pros versus Joes.
And
maybe,
you know,
the stars will align now for Double S Express here.
And there was a part of the show where he talked about the gold diggers. And so, you know, it all falls into place here. It all falls into place. But, man, we got to keep it together on show number 50, man.
Wow. So, yeah, live radio, you know, this stuff happens and you just have to get through it and go forward. And maybe he'll call back and maybe he's done. And maybe he had a Donald Sterling sighting and he's going to beat the stuff out of him. Who knows?
Yeah. And so, if not, you know, we'll definitely have him on the show again. Of course, our engineer, Don Newsom, will get him back on. And so, we'll get him back on probably here after the break. How about that? We'll take a quick break.
Yeah, hopefully he'll come back in and we can finish the interview. And if not, hey, we've got a lot of sports to get to. The show is rolling on a whim. Show 50 on the double with the Double S Express, golden style. Come on back.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret. A new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Show number 50. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. We're going to open up the phone line. So if you want to call in on the show now, you can call in to 888-429-5471. Again, that is 888-429-5471. Great show thus far. Of course, having Petros Papadakis having to exit early. Of course, he had to run, and he will be on as a guest on our show sometime in the future. But Sean Wally, show number 50, on a roll.
If you're going to call in, this is the show to do it. It's show 50, the golden show. We're almost to 1 year. 50 shows. That is so amazing. I'm proud of it. I hope, Sean Boyd, you're proud of it. I know you are. Don, you're doing a great job keeping things running for us at the station. Alicia, booking our big-time guests. And we've got listeners out there. Give us a call. Let's talk anything. Clippers, baseball, NBA playoffs. Let's go.
Yeah, it's not every week that we do that. You know, every so often we open up these lines. So if you want to call in, go ahead and call in. But we'll continue. Man, there's some great things happening. You know, in the NBA, of course, we had mentioned earlier the Miami Heat beating the Charlotte Hornets 109-98. And, you know, there's a game going on right now. And San Antonio is putting a number on the Dallas Mavericks, 50-36. And of course, Tim Duncan is starting to show, you know, the Tim Duncan of old. And so some great things going on in the NBA as well.
Tim Duncan, how old is that guy? Goodness, it seems like in the late 90s he was starting to come out of Wake Forest and wreak havoc on the West.
Well, you know, the whole San Antonio Spurs team is taking a couple of doses of Geritol, I think, man. But, man, when they get out there and play, they do an excellent job. You know? But, you know, not taking anything away from them because they're in the NBA Finals last year. And, you know, they're on their way again if they can just right the ship here. And, of course, they're, you know, beating the Dallas Mavericks as we speak.
So, Sean Boyd, what do you expect tomorrow from the NBA twofold? in terms of what Adam Silver is going to bring down with the whole Clipper gate. And also, the Clippers host a home game in the playoffs against the Golden State Warriors.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I know Adam Silver, you know, he didn't expect this. You know, in your first tenure, you know, you think that you're going to handle some things, you know, maybe here or there, and, you know, try to brush up and spruce up the league a little bit. But never in his wildest years did he think that he would have this, especially at this point in the beginning of his, you know, again, his tenure as the NBA commissioner. I don't know what he could possibly do. You know, Petras was saying, you know, exactly it. There's no rule or no guideline, you know, for this type of an issue. And so, you know, whatever he mandates, this will be the first, and they need to etch it in stone. The other thing that we need to be cognizant of is Donald Sterling, the reason why he has the money that he has is he is an attorney. So if by any chance the NBA takes whatever stance it is, a harsh penalty, you know for a fact that he's going to turn around and he'll sue. And, you know, this one could drag out for a long, long, long time.
Well, I would put my money on the NBA and the power of their attorneys versus Donald Sterling being in his early 80s and the thought processes that go through that brain, which we learned over the weekend, are not on the up and up. And the NBA has got to have the brightest of the bright. And, you know, they wouldn't do anything, whether it is revoking his ownership or forcing him to sell, because a fine or a suspension, they don't do anything. That's a slap on the wrist. The guy's got millions, possibly billions of dollars. Okay, so he doesn't sit courtside anymore. Does that hurt him? Not really. So they need to, maybe the NBA Board of Governors gets together and they vote him out. I don't know if it's a survivor type vote or how it works, because I'm not a part of the NBA Board of Governors. I'm not a fly on that wall. But something drastic needs to be done.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't put it past him, Sean, as far as fighting this, though. And you'd mentioned, you know, him being 82 years old. 82 years old, what does that mean? I mean, he has a 25-year-old girl. How old is this girl, by the way? I mean, so, you know, he may be old in age, but, you know, he's young at heart and God knows what else. But, you know, so he's definitely going to fight this. And, you know, again, I see this being a long, long drawn out process. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the outcome will be. I just know that he needs to be dealt with. There's no place for this type of an attitude. There's no place for, you know, for racism in the NBA, let alone racism, period. And so, you know, my hope is that he backs out gracefully, but I know that's not going to happen.
Sean Boyd, as an African-American male with a gorgeous, awesome, phenomenal African-American family, what is Sterling's comments and that line of thinking mean to you?
Man, you know, it's turned serious all of a sudden. And, you know, I just don't see a place for it. You know, here we are in a day and age where, you know, we have an African-American president. We have, you know, issues that, you know, that come out on a day-to-day basis that for me as an African-American male, I sense that there are these problems out there. As a matter of fact, I know that there are these problems or these issues out there. You just don't want to see them. And, you know, when this happens, you know, and, you know, it's sad. It's sad because, you know, the only thing that I can do as a human being is be the best person that I can possibly be. You know, and, you know, I listened this morning and Herm Edwards said something this morning on ESPN and it struck me as golden. He says, man, there's a bigger situation than racism, and it's the human racism. And, you know, when we better ourselves as a people individually, then, you know, that's all we can do. I can wake up in the morning. I can, you know, be the best dad, the best husband, the best friend, you know, all of those things. And I can instill that into my family. But I can't change the way somebody else thinks or the way somebody else speaks. I can only be that beacon that I know how to be, and hopefully, you know, be an example for that other person.
And here's what makes no sense to me.
Here's what makes no sense to me in terms of this whole Donald Sterling racism talk is this lady that put the trap out there and recorded his conversations. She is, I believe I've heard, half black?
Yes.
Half African American?
Yes. Yes.
And yet here he is having her as a sidecar, as a girlfriend, and he's going to turn around and say these disparaging things about his employees. It makes no sense.
It does when you understand the lineage of how a plantation owner thinks and how they run things. And, you know, back in slavery, you know, it was very common for the slave owner to pull one of the slave women into the quarters and have their way with them. And this is, you know, David West said this, as a matter of fact, a couple of days ago, and he couldn't be more spot on, as he says that this is a typical, you know, plantation mentality to where the slave owner has his way with the women as well and treats, you know, the slaves with utmost disrespect. And it's sad. You know, it's a sad time to think about. And, you know, I don't wish any ill will on Donald Sterling. I just, you know, I think that maybe, you know, he can write his errors somewhere down the line. But as far as being an NBA owner right now, he has to go because there's no place for this. There's no place for this in politics. There's no place for this in sports. There's no place for this, period. And so he has to feel the severity of this because all of his life he was taught that, hey, this is something that is, that's okay in his household. He had to learn it from someplace. And so now is his awakening as far as, you know, digging deep inside of himself and changing himself for the better.
Well, 60, 70, 80 years ago, that's probably what he was taught.
Yeah, and it's still being taught. I know that when I was going to school at, you know, down in Alabama at Auburn University, you know, I would run across those types of things. And, you know, it's tough. It's a tough situation, you know, and I'm not saying that Auburn University is horrible because I love Auburn, War Eagle. And, you know, it's just, you know, the situation was I was in a restaurant. And, you know, me and a teammate of mine, we walked into the restaurant and some guys were sitting across from the table and they said, man, if we hadn't lost the war, this type of stuff wouldn't have happened. And I'm thinking, man, what war is he talking about? You know, I'm thinking, wow, you know, we're winning. This was at the time of the Persian Gulf. I'm like, we're winning. What's he talking about? And my buddy kind of elbows me. He's like, man, he's talking about the Civil War. And I thought, man, how ridiculous this is. But when you think about it, when it's handed down from your grandfather to your father to your son, it feels like it was just yesterday. And so, you know, what do I do? Do I wish ill will on this person? Do I retaliate and you know, with anger and force? You know, no, I can only recognize the situation and I can only make myself better and understand that I will not implement and I will not teach that to my family, to myself, or to others. That's all you can do.
It's the worst case of ignorance and stupidity. And that's basically the root of it, is it's probably what he was taught 60, 70 years ago when he was growing up. And somewhere in his mind, that's still there. As unfortunate as that is, and as wrong as that is, maybe a part of that never left him. But at the same time, who are the people he is employing? NBA basketball players, which are what? 60, 70, 80% African American. Mm-hmm. And it's 2014. Martin Luther King is rolling over in his grave, God rest his soul, hearing what apparently Sterling has said to his mixed race girlfriend. The entire thing is just a made-for-TV movie, a miniseries that keeps you on the edge of your seat, and you can't. You want to turn away, but you can't.
Yeah, you know, and like you mentioned, we'll see 24 hours from now or less than 24 hours from now what type of mandate comes down. But I can tell you this. I can tell you that Adam Silver is not going to get any sleep tonight. And, you know, the outcome that he will bring forth will be something of severity. We've had, you know, the Players Association leaders coming out, and one here in Sacramento, Kevin Johnson, has come out to speak. And so, you know, there is a strong contingency that is saying, man, this has to be dealt with. And so, you know, we'll see tomorrow, but I believe that we're going to see that suspension, and how it moves forward is going to be, you know, your guess as good as mine.
Well, hopefully the suspension is the short term, and the long term answer is to remove Sterling from the NBA. And it, you would hope that he doesn't benefit an exorbitant amount financially from this issue.
Yeah. You know, and you know, one of the things is that, you know, Mark Jackson, the head coach for the Golden State Warriors, he said, man, it would be great if the fans could boycott. And, you know, I don't think that that's something that would happen. But, you know, I think that the Clippers, the basketball team, has shown enough solidarity. But, man, again, you know, his pocketbook has to hurt. And so we'll find out if that's going to happen here tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think what they could do in L.A. as fans is maybe hold out for a quarter. I mean, that would make a huge statement if very few people are in the arena, Staples Center, but I'm sure more people are not going to care, and they're just going to go to be there. So a crazy topic, so many ways it can go. We will see it unravel tomorrow, not only at the Staples Center, but from Commissioner Silver of the NBA. When we come back here on The Double with the Double S Express, show 50 continues. We'll move on to what's going on in the NFL and Major League Baseball after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.
Back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Show 50, the golden show. Sean Boyd, it's been a good one.
Yeah, it's definitely been a good one. I think our engineer is trying to tell us something here. Yeah, great show. You know, we had Petros Papadakis on talking, you know, current goings on with the NFL. I'm sorry, with the NBA. and some other things going on with him. You know, we talked a little bit about his show, the old show, Pros versus Joes. And, of course, our first guest, LaSalle Thompson. You know, getting a chance to speak with him, Sean Wally.
Yeah, it's been a good show. Two big guests and, of course, polarizing topics. You know, it makes this business easy. And it's not something we have to try to figure out what to do and what to say and what to talk about. Not that we want to discuss what Sterling and the Clippers owner may have been doing and what's going on there and these issues in 2014. But, you know, it's polarizing and people want to chime in and everybody's got opinions. And there's no place for that in the world in 2014.
Yeah, definitely. You're definitely right. And, you know, I just want to, you know, kind of kill the noise a little bit and, you know, move on to some better things. And so, you know, with that being said, there's a lot of action going on. And there's some excitement going on in the Pacific Northwest up in your neck of the woods, Sean Wally. Seattle Seahawks making a little bit of a wave, signing a defensive back, but it's not the one that we're thinking about. It's not Richard Sherman. It's Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas signing a big deal.
That is correct. The safety for the Seattle Seahawks is now the highest paid safety in all of the NFL. A guaranteed $27 million, a four-year extension after his original rookie contract expires in 2014. $40 million to one. Number 29, safety Earl Thomas from Orange, Texas.
Man, that, you know, that's a great purse for, you know, an excellent safety. He's definitely, you know, earned that or earned his salary. I believe he's the best safety in the business. You know, I'm kind of curious, Sean, what you think as far as what that's going to do as far as the contract for Richard Sherman.
Well, John Schneider and Pete Carroll, they think two steps ahead. So they wouldn't do the Earl Thomas contract without knowing where they want to put Sherman, and they've already got Chancellor locked up, so that would be three-fourths of the original LOB, Legion of Boom, in Seattle. And the salary cap is going to rise. It rose this season, and now it's going to rise again after the 2014 football season. So they're factoring that in. They're factoring in the TV money that continues to rise. The NFL is second to none in terms of sports in North America.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Some great things still going on up in the Pacific Northwest for the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, they're locking in their key players. And, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be a great season coming up next year.
So quickly, the world of baseball, things are looking a little bit better in the Pacific Northwest. And of course, the A's are still in first place as of this morning at 15-10, tied with the Rangers, who dropped 2-3 to Seattle over the weekend.
Yeah, and you know, they're having a little bit, meaning the Rangers are having a little bit of a hangover. Bottom of the ninth, Oakland just putting the beat down on Texas as we speak, 4-0. And, you know, that's going to push Oakland a little bit further ahead in this early part of the season. You know, some other great baseball going on in Northern California. The San Francisco Giants are doing excellent across the bridge. And so, you know, you have two Bay Area teams atop of their respective divisions.
Is there a more pristine, picturesque spot for a stadium than the Giants have right there on the bay?
Oh, man, it is a beautiful stadium. You know, AT&T Park. I mean, it overlooks the bay, and of course, you have McCovey Cove in down right field, and you know, every seat seems like a great seat. And of course, when I'm at the game, you know, I get to sit behind home plate in the press box. I always love that view, Sean Wally. And so, you know, yeah, it is one of the more beautiful ballparks in America.
So, Sean, 50 shows now of On the Double. 1 through 50. What are the few favorites in your mind? Maybe not entire shows, but maybe guests, maybe what we've talked about, maybe a caller or two. What are your top thoughts of the previous 50 shows?
Man, putting me on the spot. I mean, goodness, 50 shows. There's a lot of guests that we've had on the show, a lot of good times. You know, if I were to pick one, I would probably have to pick, you know, I believe it was show number 9 or 10. Now you're really putting me on the spot. But the reunion show with the Tacoma Thunder, you know, of course, that's where it all started for us. And getting a chance to talk with all those guys and finding out what they're doing these days and where they are and how special that group and that organization was, you know, that was a treat, a real treat for me.
Yeah, that was great. It was great to reminisce and think about the great times of the past. And then me getting a chance to reunite with David Massey March 8th in Eugene and work the Oregon-Arizona game and have a chance to meet Andrew Catalon, who was a big-time guest last week. And everything just fell into place and was definitely a good time.
Yeah, you know, it's probably one of the better shows, one of the ones that I like. And of course, you know, gosh, don't get me started, man, because all the guests, I really love all the guests. There's a unique individualism in each and every one of them. And so, you know, it's just a lot of fun. And show 50, that's big for us, man.
What have you learned over the last 50 shows that can propel and grow the show the next 50?
Learn? I didn't know that we were learning. Are we learning anything? I thought we were just on here talking sports. You're talking learning stuff, Sean? My goodness.
Absolutely a student of the game, Coach Boyd. Come on, Coach.
Man, you know, I've learned to be patient. I've learned to definitely, you know, understand and listen. And, you know, it's kind of tough. I mean, we put this product on the air, but, you know, of course, we have a lot of dialogue going on, you know, on the side. And of course, we have our engineer talking to us, our producer talking to us. And so there's a lot of learning of each other and there's a lot of growth. And so, man, I look forward to, you know, the next 50, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, I've learned to, you know, that communication is more than just talking. It's actually, you know, coinciding and making things better, man. Gosh, you pulled that out of me. I can't believe it.
Hey, I'm here to help you out, make you a little bit better, and hopefully bring the show a little bit more greatness than you already do, Mr. Boyd.
and our engineer Donnie's rolling on the floor laughing. Hey, it's okay, Don. You know, sometimes I bring out that inner feeling, and it's all right. It's okay. Yes, you know, Sean did it. It's done. We're moving forward.
50 shows just about in the books. Show 51 in 7 days next Monday night. We hope to have two great big-time guests, as always, for you here on the Double with the Double S Express. We're looking forward to hopefully aligning with Spiro Dedis of CBS Sports and the CBS Sports Network, great play-by-play man that I had the pleasure of working with in Spokane in March for the NCAAs, as well as pro football receiver in the Indoor Football League with the Tri-Cities Fever, Steve Whitehead, who was also a, help me out here, Sean. He is a trainer as well in Tri-Cities, Washington, and should be a great show if we can get Spiro aligned with Steve Whitehead and talk about the world of play-by-play, sports broadcasting, and being a receiver in college and pro football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. More great guests coming up. And you know, of course, two more shows. We're looking at 1 year of being on the air. Hey, Sean, I also wanted to send the condolences out to the Ramsey family. Coach Ramsey, the former head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, man, his NBA championship in 1977, you know, with the Portland Trail Blazers, died this morning, man. And so condolences out to the Ramsey family. You know, and, you know, he was one of the great ones. One of the great ones, Sean.
Yeah, Dr. Jack, as Kevin Calabro and many others have called him, working with him through the years. And, of course, a face known throughout Florida for sure. And, of course, the Pacific Northwest in the 70s and 80s with the Trailblazers.
Yeah, you know, and again, another pioneer in the game, you know, wishing the family all the best.
50 shows, Mr. Boyd. Does it feel like 50 in the books?
No, it doesn't, man. And you know, we're just getting started. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I can't wait for the next show and can't wait to, you know, to ask all these great questions and find out a little bit more about our guest. And so, you know, awesome 50. And show 51 again, coming up next week with some awesome guests.
Also, yeah, for sure. And be sure to check out the brand new apps for your smartphones if you don't want to pull up your laptop, your desk computer to log on and listen to our show here via our website or BBS Radio's website. You can do that now on your smartphone, BBS Radio app, at the Android Google Play Store or iTunes. Definitely check it out, BBS Radio app for On the Double every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, you know, it makes it a lot easier to get online and listen to your favorite shows, and I definitely love it. So download that app. It's now available on the iPhone, and you'll be able to listen to great shows such as On the Double with the Double S Express. So show number 50 in the books for Sean Wally, Don Newsom, our engineer, and Alicia Flores, our producer, the Big 5-0. I'm Sean Boyd. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.